This is the Daf Yomi Masechta Review, Masechta Baba Basra, Type Number 3.
For subscription information about the Daf Yomi Masechta Review, call us toll free at 1-888-DAF-YOMI.
This type is dedicated in memory of Ha'isha Beila Bas Gutel Seriga Zichroni Livrocha. Our Magid Shia is Rabbi Yossi Heber.
We're holding in the middle of Perek Cheskes Habatim in Masechta Baba Basra at the Mishnah on Daf Mem Beis Amar Aleph. And the Mishnah begins. If Reuven has a keli in his possession, no matter who says it belongs to them, since Reuven is the Muchsuk, he's the one who has it in his possession, we say it belongs to him. However, if an umnan, a craftsman, has it, we don't say it's for sure his, since maybe he's only fixing it for someone. The same for a shutaf, or a sharecropper, or an apitropis, who claims it's his midin chazaka. We say the chazaka is no good, since maybe he's only watching it for the children. If a man claims a chazaka on the nichse melug of his wife, it isn't good. If one makes a chazaka with permission, for example, a ger dies, so his property is hefker, then it's definitely considered a good chazaka. Gemara. Shmuel says two shutfin who work together can utilize a kinyan chazaka together. Shmuel also says that partners are not as connected as they would seem to be on the surface. For example, they can testify for each other, they can be a shomer socher for each other, and they can have a chazaka on each other's property, but not necessarily more than that. Tachnun Gimel. While people are partners, they really can't testify for each other, since one is a negea bedover for each other. They stand to gain if they testify for the other, but they can testify after they're separated as partners. The Gemara says a community where a Sefer Torah was stolen, we don't use the dayanim of that city to judge the ganav, and we don't accept edim from that city either against the ganavim, because they're considered negea bedover. The Radvaz says that even if the Sefer Torah was stolen from a shul which had more than one Sefer Torah, and the theft of the Sefer Torah does not curtail the weekly Kriyas HaTorah, as they can read from a different Sefer Torah, nevertheless, one who regularly davens in that shul is considered a Nogea B'davar, and is disqualified from being a Dayan or bringing Edus regarding the theft of the Sefer Torah, even if he doesn't own a share in the Sefer Torah. The Radvaz says that since when they'll get the Sefer Torah back, the shul will sometimes use it for Kriyas HaTorah, all members of that shul are considered Nogea B'davar, and as much as they stand to get some Hana from listening to this Kriyas HaTorah, once the Sefer Torah, which was stolen, is brought back. The Gemara says if Reuven sold a house or a field, and someone claims that it's his, Reuven cannot testify for the buyer, since he's considered a Nogea B'davar. But if Reuven sells Metaltalin, he can be an aid, since he doesn't gain. He has no achrayas, and therefore he's not considered negea bedover. Daf Mem Daled. Where we have yish and shini rishus, where a person gave up hope and there was a shini rishus, then we can have a full kinyan. The Gemara says only karka, only land, can potentially become meshubed to the malva if it is sold, since when it becomes mortgaged, a shtar creates a kol, public awareness, i.e., prospective buyers are forewarned of the existence of a lien on the debtor's properties, and someone who is a careful buyer will not purchase property from this debtor. The Gemara here says that only the debtor's karka, only real estate, can become mortgaged, but metaltalin, movable objects, cannot become mortgaged. The Rashbam explains that movable property does not have the same kol, does not have the same publicity when the transaction happens, as karka has. Buyers are not as likely to realize the metaltalin that they wish to buy are subject to a lien, and they may unsuspectingly buy metaltalin from the debtor. Therefore, the halacha is that if the debtor sells his metaltalin, they cannot be confiscated from the buyer for payment of his debts. If Reuven sells a field to Shimon without a guarantee, he cannot testify for Shimon if someone claims it's his, since he's negea, i.e. the Baal Chayiv will be able to collect. Daf Mem Hei. Rava said in a public drasha, those who go from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, or vice versa, if a Jew sold a donkey to a different Jew, and a goy comes and says, it's mine, so the Jewish seller must compensate the Jewish buyer, and then he can take the goy to court. But this is only if we have a reason to believe the goy is telling the truth. Amemer says, the meicher never has to compensate the lekeach, because we say, stam akum anasu. Stam a goy is considered to be a ganef. Kuntras al Hadaf here brings the Rambam in Hilchas Mechira Perek Yutes Halacha Dalet. In ruling like a Meimer, he says the Rambam adds that even if the Goy had the field confiscated in a Goyish accord of law, nevertheless the seller assumes no obligation. The Rambam holds that the decision of the Beis Din Akum does not satisfactorily convince us that the Akum's claim is in fact true, since the Beis Din Akum relies on weaker evidence to substantiate a claim than halachic law requires. The Kesef Mishnah asks, since the halacha recognizes monetary laws of the local government as valid and binding, dina de malchusa dina, why is the ruling of the Beis Din Akum disregarded and deemed untruthful? Since the halacha requires one to follow the laws of a land, one must heed the decision of the civil courts. Why isn't the seller required to reimburse the buyer if his field was confiscated on the basis of the civil court, which found the field to be stolen or mortgaged? The Sma, in answer to this question, postulates that laws of a land have halachic recognition only insofar as they don't contradict the laws of the Torah. For example, the halacha recognizes the power of the government to levy taxes. However, in a case where the civil courts decide a dispute and confiscate property from the defendant on the basis of halachically insufficient evidence, i.e. they accept the testimony of an Eid Echad, whereas the Torah requires at least two, the rule of Dina de Malchusa Dina does not apply, since according to the Torah law, the ruling is wrong. The Gemara says if a craftsman claims that the talus he's fixing belongs to him, we don't believe him. Rava says this is only if the Balabais gave it to the Uman with Edom. But if there were no Edom, the Uman can keep it, since he has a migu. He could have said, you never gave me a talus at all, and then he'd be putter from having any Edom. According to Abaya, the key is if the Uman has the talus. If he has the talus, then we say he has a chazaka, and it's his. If he doesn't have the talus, then the Uman does not have a chazaka. If someone gave a talus to an Uman, and the Uman says, you said you would give me 4 dinarim, and the Balabaya says, no, I said I would give you 1 dinar. As long as the talus is by the Uman, the burden of proof is on the Balabais, since the Uman has a migu. He could have said, I bought it, and I didn't get it from you. But once he returns it, the burden of proof is on him, on the Uman, because we say, ha-maitzi mechavero, olav haraya. Daf mem vav. A person had a beged by an Uman, for example, by the cleaning store, by a cleaners, and the Uman mixed it up and gave you back the wrong one. So until he comes to collect it, man number 2, you can use it. But if, at a simcha, for example, your coat gets mixed up with someone else's, you can't use the other person's coat. It's interesting that the Aruch HaShulchan writes at the end of Siman Kuf Lamed Vav that at large gatherings it was common for people to leave their rubbers in the hallway. And they really didn't care about who took whose pair of rubbers because they were all very similar. However, today, where coats or rubbers are different, this halacha probably would not apply, and people have to be very careful about switching one coat or one pair of rubbers for someone else's. The Gemara asks, can a tenant farmer testify that a farm belongs to the Bailam, or is he considered Nogea Bedover? Our answer is, if there are still paris left on the land, and he could lose money, he's Nogea, therefore he cannot testify. But if there are no paris left, he can testify. A guarantor, an Orev, can testify that land belongs to the Leiva. Aye, but he's Nogea, since if the Leiva loses the land, the Malva can collect from the Orev. Our answer, the Leiva has other land, so the Malva would take from that first. Therefore, he's not considered Negea. Daf Mem Zayin. An Uman does not have a chazaka, but if he quits his job, he can have a chazaka. An Aris has no chazaka on the land he worked on, but if he quits working on the land, then he can have a din of chazaka. The Gemara asks, when there is a Suffolk Gerushin, the Gemara says, a husband still has a chiyuv to feed his wife. He still has a chiyuv mezainis. If someone buys a field from a Sekrikun, a mafia man. We had the famous case of Sekrikun is in the Gemara of Kamtza Bar Kamtza, which is in Gittin, which describes the story of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So if someone buys a field from a Sekrikun, but then he sells it to Stam a person, Rechayshir said he sold it only out of fear of the mafia man. And finally, if a person was forced to sell an object, the sale is still valid. Daf Mem Ches. Rav Huna says there are certain cases where we force a husband to give a get. In fact, sometimes we push him hard until he says, Reitzani. But this is only if a Jew forces him. But if a Goy forces him, the get is possible, in order to discourage people from dealing with Goyim and Gittin, since it may lead to Znus. The Rambam in Hilchas Gerushin, Perek Beis, says that each Jew, deep in his heart, is really interested in complying with his chiyuvim from the Torah. And therefore, we attribute the husband's refusal merely to a temporary strength of the Yetzer Hara. Therefore, when Beis Din coerces him, although really they're coercing him to give a get, since we know that a Jew really wants to act in accordance with the Torah, Beis Din coercion, the coercion of Beis Din, functions only to soften his temporary Yetzer Hara. And when he says Reitzani, it's taken at face value, that he really wants to grant the get and do the right thing. Therefore, it's not really considered a coercion, but rather when we say Reitzani, he really does mean when he says Reitzani, because we're only forcing him to fight off his Yetzer Hara, so he'll do what he really knows is right. Edim who say, yes, we did sign on the shtar, but no money was really lent. We don't believe them, since once the Edim agree that the signatures on the shtar is theirs, and all that is written on it is valid, we say that it's a good shtar. Since kivan shehigid, shuv ein achayzer amagid. They can't say we signed it, but we really didn't mean to sign it. Once they say it's our signatures, they obviously signed it, and they're clear that they signed it for a reason, which is truthful. Daf mem tes. A man cannot establish a chazaka on the nichsei malug property of his wife. This is because he has the right to still eat from the pears, and therefore he's considered negei abadaber. If a certain zechus will be coming to a person in the future, and this zechus is midrabanan, he can refuse it now. This is similar to a wife who can say to her husband, don't support me, and I'll keep my maisa yadi. Normally, in exchange for a woman's work, she gets food from her husband. But if she's willing to waive that, she is allowed to. There are certain types of fields which a woman can use for shalom bayis, including if a special field was written in the ksuba. Daf nun. In Usha, they made a takana that if a woman sells her nichsei malug and then dies, the husband can take it away from the buyer. But if both of them sell to the same person, then the sale is valid. Rebbe Elazar says, it isn't valid, since there isn't one person who has both a kinyan peris and a kinyan haguf at the same time. The husband has one and the wife has the other. The Gemara then brings down a brisa, which discusses a case where one person owns the kinyan haguf to an eved, but cannot use him now, and another person owns the kinyan peris, the right to use the slave for a certain amount of time. The Gemara questions, which one, if any of the two owners, is halachically considered to be the master of the slave? The Gemara brings down Rabbi Yaisi, who considers both of the partners as masters, regarding the exemption of Yom Ayemayim. What is this case? If either one strikes the Eved, causing him to die after a 24-hour period, the murderer is exempt. The Gemara explains that Rabbi Yaisi actually was uncertain as to which one is halachically considered the master. However, he patters both from Misa, because the rule is that Misa, the death penalty, can only be administered in cases where we're sure of the situation. But in cases of Safik, we say Safik Nefashas Lohakel. The Rashbam brings down the Pasuk in Bamidbar, Perakof Dalad, Pasuk Lamed Hei, the Shaftua Eda, Vitzilo Ha'eda. The people shall judge, and the people shall rescue. This Pasuk indicates that Beis Din should try to be lenient and save someone from the death penalty, if possible. And therefore, we deduce that in cases where it's a Safik, where we're dealing with Safik Nefashas, we say Safik Nefashas Lohakel. The Gemara says a person cannot make a chazaka on a married woman's property because she can say, the reason I wasn't meicha was because I thought my husband would do it for me. Daf nun aleph. If an owner borrows money from an eved and then frees him, or a husband borrows money from his wife and then divorces her, the owner doesn't owe money anymore. The Gemara says when you sell a field to a wife, the mechira is chal, but the husband can still eat peres. But if he gives her a field as a gift, he cannot eat peres, since he gave it to her with a full heart. Rebbe Elazar says, by both cases, he cannot eat. Finally, we don't accept a pikudin to watch from a child, a wife, or an eved, since we're afraid it may have been stolen. If you did take a pikudin to watch, you return it directly to them. Daf nun beis. If one does take money from a kudin, he should use it for a segula. What's a segula? To buy a sefer Torah. The Gemara says, if a father dies, but one brother was the family's accountant. He claims a certain property was his. It has his signature. The family says it belongs to them. Rav says the burden of proof is on him. Shmuel says the burden of proof is on the family. The same halacha would apply by an almana who watched the estate of her husband vis-a-vis the children who claim that it may be theirs. And finally, a chazaka can only work when there is a taina. There's clearly a fact of sale that something actually took place or something moved from one person to the next. But a chazaka she'eni maitaina is not good. And kinyan chazaka can only work if it's in front of the meicher. If he's not there, you need his permission to make a chazaka. Daf Nun Gimel. Rav holds that when one gives a matana, he gives it with a full heart. If a person put a stone in a wall and then he removed it, but in the meantime it had a benefit, it brought water in, so it helped your neighbor, this can be considered a chazaka. If all it did was it protected it from damage, it's not considered a chazaka. But if it actually was put in to bring some form of a benefit, then it is considered to be a good chazaka. The Rashbam explains this Gemara as follows. Since the Torah is mechayev a person to help save his friend's property from damage, this is called hashavas aveda, an act which serves only to protect the field from damage does not display real ownership, because even one who is not the owner is expected to help save it, as we know from the mitzvah in the Torah. Therefore, only an act which functions to improve upon the field, rather than just to protect it, is considered a good chazaka. Like we see here, if it brings water in, then it's considered a good chazaka. If there are two fields, and there's a border between them, if you made a chazaka on one, you don't automatically have a chazaka on the other, since the border separates it. If someone finds a built house on the property of a ger who died, if you add an amma of mortar to it, this is considered a good chazaka. Kinyan Hagbah is stronger than chazaka, since Kinyan Hagbah is nikna everywhere, even in the rishus of the meicher. Mash'ein ken Kinyan Mesira doesn't work in the rishus of the meicher. Daf Nun Dalet. If a person throws seeds onto the ground of the land of a ger, this is not considered a good chazaka. The Gemara then says that if a person throws a turnip into the ground, this is also not considered a kinyan chazaka. The Rashbam explains, planting is only considered a good chazaka if one sows the land and then covers the seeds with earth. But just throwing a turnip into a hole in the ground is not significant enough to affect a kinyan, because no act was actually performed with the land mamish itself. The Rashbam adds that neither is harvesting the turnip after it grows considered a chazaka, because a chazaka must improve upon the field, i.e. like building a fence and so on. Merely harvesting a crop which grew on an ownerless field is not considered an improvement to the field, and therefore it is not considered to be a kinyan chazaka. Shmuel says, if a person removes wood from land with the kavana to eventually plow it, i.e. it's good for the land, he can be kind of a kinyan chazaka. But if he just cuts wood for the purpose of firewood, but has no kavana for tikkun hakarka, this is not considered a kinyan chazaka. If one allows water onto a piece of land, if it's for the purpose of helping the field, kinyan chazaka is kaina. If it's for the purpose of catching fish, there is no chazaka. If a field which was hefker was surrounded by borders, it's a machlekes between Rav and Shmuel, what percentage of it do you have to work on in order to be kaina the entire field? According to Shmuel, you're only kaina on the exact part of the field that you did work on. Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel says, when a guy sells a property to a Jew, once the guy gets the money, the field becomes hefker. The Jew, however, needs a shtar to be kind of the field. So technically, between the time the cash is given and the shtar is written, anyone could be kind of this hefker field. Shmuel says, we hold dina de malchusa gdina. Government laws are considered valid. So if, for example, the law says you need a shtar to be kind of a field, then you need a shtar to be kind of a field. If the government says you have to pay taxes, then a person is mechuyev to pay taxes. Daf Nun Hey. They learned three halachas from Shmuel. Number one, dina da malchusa dina, that government laws have validity. Number two, even though normally chazaka is after 3 years, in Persia it's after 40 years. And if the government, number three, if the government confiscates Reuven's land, since he didn't pay taxes, and Shimon buys the land, Reuven has no claims against that land, because we say dina da malchusa dina. Other ramifications of dina da malchusa dina can be found in Baba Kama, Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. Shmuel over there prohibits tax evasion based on the principle of dina de malchusa dina. Shmuel says that since government laws and tax codes have halachic standard, evading taxes amounts to gzela, to stealing. Ayin Kesef Mishnah, Perek Hey, Hilchas Gzela, Halacha Yud Aleph. The Rashbam says, here on Daf Nandalad Amud Beis, says that the concept of dina de malchusa dina applies to taxes and laws which kings customarily impose on their kingdom. The Rashbam implies that it does not apply to a case when a king confiscates property without cause. Similarly, The Rambam writes that Dina de Malchusa Dina does not mean that a monarch has carte blanche to do whatever he wants. The Rambam says that if a king confiscates someone's property for no reason, another Jew may not take possession of that property because the property halachically still belongs to its original owner. Only if the property was confiscated for some reason, a really good reason, even if only a poor reason, is the confiscation recognized by halacha. The Ramban limits the principle of Dina de Malchusa Dina even further. He says that Dina de Malchusa Dina applies strictly to the set of laws and statutes that were practiced by previous generations. However, Dina de Malchusa Dina does not apply if a king changes the conventional laws and enacts entirely different measures. The Ran in the Darim, Daf Chof Ches Amud Aleph, brings Taisus, who says that Dina de Malchusa Dina applies only to a Goyish king who technically owns all the land of his kingdom. However, a Jewish king in Eretz Yisrael, who does not technically own the land, as it was divided and distributed to all Jews, he is not empowered to impose just any tax that he pleases. The Gemara says a person who is unemployed is also mechuyev to chip in for the taxes of the kehila. If between fields there is a valley, or a gathering of rainwater, or we have a public road, a Rishus Harabim, which is at least 16 amos wide, that's what constitutes a Rishus Harabim, if these exist between two fields, you must take payah from both of the fields. If one field of a valley has a mace, a dead body, and a person is besuffic if he entered the Tamei field or the Tahar field, Rabbi Elazar says he's Tahar, since it's a Sfek Sveka. Suffic number one, if he entered the field, and suffic number two, even if he did, we're not sure if he touched the mace. The Chachamim say he's Tamei. But regarding Shabbos, a boundary that cuts through a field does not act as a border to create two separate Rishuyos, i.e. if one carries a piece of food which is more than a gregris, which is more than a chash of a piece of food, from one rishus to the other, he's pater from the halacha and from the iser of haitzah. The Gemara says if one carries a chatzi gregris into a rishus harabim, and again later a different chatzi gregris, if they were both behelam echad, in one state of shaygig, i.e. between the two times that he took half of each, he never realized that it was Shabbos, therefore it was behelam echad, he's chayev a carbon, and these two chatzayim are mitzdarif. If it was done b'shtei halamas, i.e., he realized in between that it was Shabbos, then he's pater, because it's chatzi shir on each side. Rabbi Yossi says, if it's behelam echad, if both were in the same Rishus Harabim, then he's chayev. But if they were into two separate Rishus Harabims, then he's pater. Daf Nun Vav. According to Rabba, in order for two adjoining Rishuyais to be considered two separate Rishuyais to create a chi of carbon chatas, it must be a chashav of a separation, like a Rishus Hayachid in between them. But if it isn't chashav, for example, a Carmelis, which isn't considered a Rishus Harabim or Rishus Hayachid, which Miraraisa one can carry into, only Mirabanan one cannot carry into Carmelis, this Carmelis would not divide two Rishus Harabims into two separate Rishuyas. Abaya says, even a Carmelis can be used as a division between two Rishus Harabims. Only a Pisla, a block of wood, which is called a Makam Ptur, can't be a divider between two Rishuyas. Rava said, the Rishuyas of Shabbos, are similar to the Rishuyas of Gittin. So if a man gives a piece of land to his wife, threw a get to her into that Rishus, and it landed on a Pisla, on this piece of wood, the get is not Chal, since the Pisla is considered a separate Rishus vis-a-vis the Chatzar itself. So too by Shabbos, the Pisla is considered a separate Rishus from the Rishus Harabim. The Gemara says, as long as a whole field is called after one person's name, for example, it's Yankel's field, a kinyan on any part of it creates a kinyan for all of it. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel says, all the lands that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed to Moshe at the time of his Misa are Chayev B'Meiser, since they are really part of Eretz Yisrael. But this excludes Keni, Knizi, and Admoni. And although Hashem promised Avram that his children will eventually inherit these lands, since they were not conquered by Yehoshua, one is not mechuyev to separate Shumas and Maisrus from its produce, i.e. these lands do not have Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. The Rashbam adds that these lands are excluded from the requirement of Maiser, even if the Jews subsequently conquer them, since they are not from the original lands of the Shiva Umais which Yehoshua conquered. The Rashbam points out that the reason we have special Shi'urim for Meleches Shabbos is based on the call of Meleches Machshavas Osro Torah. It must be Chashav. So if one does a Malacha, which is Pachas Mikashir, he isn't Chayev. Rashi in Shabbos, Dafayin Dalet, Amid Aleph, points out that although there are special shiurim regarding Shabbos, nevertheless, chatzi shiur is usher min haTorah for Shabbos. Shiur is only relevant regarding the chiyuv of bringing a carbon. The Chacham Tzvi, in Simen Peivav, is chaylik, and says chatzi shiur is usher only mi rabbanan. The Mishnah. If two witnesses testify that a person ate peiros for 3 years off of a certain land, and based on this, a chazaka was established, so Bezdin awarded him the field. Then these Edim, who brought this testimony, were found to be Zaymimin, because other Edim came along and said, Imanu Hayisam. So the whole chazaka collapses, unless, of course, he has a shtar. Naturally, we know, as we've mentioned numerous times, if a person has a shtar that he owns land, the whole halacha of chazaka doesn't apply, because the shtar is good enough as it is. The halacha of chazaka only applies if a person doesn't have a shtar to prove it, and then he can prove that he lived on it for 3 years, then the living on it for 3 years takes the place of the shtar, because he has a chazaka through living on it for 3 years. So in this case, the chazaka becomes collapsed, because the edim are found to be zaymimin. So these edim, as a punishment, must pay the original owner, kasher zama, the value of the field to the original bialim. Whether they must also pay for the peiros is a machlekes rishonim. If three sets of edim testify for 1 year each, if only one or two of these sets were found to be Zaymimin, all of them are Pater, because we know that in order for the groups of Zaymimin to be considered Edom Zaymimin, they all must be found to be Zaymimin. But if all three sets are found to be Zaymimin, they must split the punishment of Kasher Zamam between them. Gemara. According to Rabbi Akiva, we cannot be mitzaref three sets of Edom to create a Chazaka, since the Pasuk says, Al Pishnayim Edom Yakum Dover. Dover Shalem, they have to be Yakum, V'loi Chatzi Dover. Finally, if one witness said that Reuven ate 3 years of wheat, but one witness said he ate 3 years of barley, the chazaka is good, since they both at least agreed that it was for a period of 3 years. Daf Nun Zayin, the Mishnah. Here are the ways that if you utilize a field, you will not have a chazaka after 3 years. Number one, if you set up your animal. Number two, if you placed dung there. Or number three, if you made a coop for chickens. If you want a chazaka, you have to build a mechitza for behemoths, which is more than 10 tvachim of size, or a mechitza for a stove or a high place for dung. These are considered a good chazaka because they're something chashiv. But if there's something which are small or not chashiv or something temporary, those are not considered a good chazaka. Gemara. A mechitza is stronger than other things. That's why it creates a good chazaka. If we're dealing with two shutfin, and one shutif wants to do something and make steady use of the particular land that they own together. So any type of tashmishin kivuim, steady use of the land, one shutif can say to the other, I don't want you to do it because you're ruining the privacy of our field or our chatzah that we own together. However, when we're dealing with washing of clothing, one shutif cannot prevent the other from doing it in the chatzah. Since if a woman cannot wash her clothing in the chatzah, they'll have to go down and wash by the river, and she'll have to expose part of her body, which would be considered pritzos if someone is looking on. The Gemara says, praiseworthy is a person who closes his eyes when he sees women washing their clothes by the river. A person needs to be careful with this, so he doesn't allow his yetzer hara to overpower him, which could lead to znus. The Rashbam says, if a person has a choice of two roads, and he chooses the one that has lewd women on it, even if he closes his eyes when he passes them, he's considered a rasha. Since a person is mechuyev to be marchik himself from bad things. The Chafetz Chaim asks from the Gemara in Pesachim Daf Chaf Hei that if a person has a choice of two roads, and one passes an Avodah Zarah, and he chooses the road that passes the Avodah Zarah, he's not considered to be a Rasha, since it's only Efshar V'Lay K'mechaven. He didn't have Kavanah to enjoy the Avodah Zarah, he only wanted to pass it. So why here is he considered to be a Rasha? Rashbam answers, Znus is different. Since when it comes to Arayis, everyone, no matter how strong they are against their Yetzer Hara, they're still vulnerable to the Yetzer Hara. By Znus, even histaklos, looking is Aser, more than by other Isurim, as we see from the Gemara in Brachas Daf Samach Aleph. It's better to walk behind a lion than to walk behind a woman. The Chidushe Basra points out that for histaklos, a person is over on the lav of v'nishmarta mikol davar ra, since here he needs to be careful, shel yaharer bayayim v'yavar lidei kari balayla. So a person shouldn't have bad thoughts during the day and end up seeing Kari at night. Rabbi Noi said, when a Talmud Chacham walks, his undergarments should cover his legs all the way down to his feet. One can identify a Talmud Chacham by the fact that he dresses cleanly, he eats nicely, and he makes do with little. An Amaretz is just the opposite. he puts big pots on the table, which are most.